The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning. How are you?
Boker Tov. Yeah, Israel's preparing for some wintry weather. We've had a little bit of respite from the recent rains. It's been quite nice and sunny, even quite warmish. Mm-hmm. But apparently the snow is on the way, even in Jerusalem, where they are preparing for some snow later in the week. And certainly some wet and wintry weather. So on the one hand, a little concerning for some people. Obviously, the cold and wet has some issues. Israel is generally built for summery weather. And so unlike other places in the world where they've been having really, really icy temperatures, I've heard of some really crazy winter temperatures across the USA and also in Eastern Europe. Obviously, we don't experience such cold weather here, and we're generally built for the summers with air conditioning and houses that try to keep the cold in rather than keep the cold out. So, you know, when the winter does come, like we're expecting later this week, yeah, we're hopeful that everything will be all right for everybody. But obviously, it also comes with water, with rain, badly needed water. So that's good news. Just rolling into the subject of corona, because inevitably we're going to talk about it. The thing that interested me is that Japan has an issue with rolling out their vaccinations, not because they're short of vaccine, but because they're short of syringes.
Really? That's fascinating. You see, because that's what we often don't think of, these unintended consequences.
And these that in the UK, yeah, they had an issue with packaging, that when they were first producing the AstraZeneca vaccine, that they had plenty of vaccine, but they were struggling to actually get it into the little vials that they need to put the vaccine into in order to distribute it. They had a physical production problem with getting it into these vials. They just didn't have enough hands, or they didn't have enough production facilities. So lots and lots of logistical issues. And of course, we haven't even begun to talk about the storage at whatever it is, minus 70 degrees. You know, there are some places in Eastern Europe, I think they could store that outside almost for the weather that they've been having. It's a logistical challenge to produce the vaccine, to get it into the syringes, to the vials, to distribute it, to store it. It's interesting that Prime Minister Netanyahu was in the headlines this morning saying that he's been talking to Moderna and to Pfizer about establishing vaccine plants in Israel, that he's negotiating with the two companies to build two plants in Israel, that apparently, as far as the Prime Minister has intentions to achieve, will turn in Israel into an international center in the fight against coronavirus.
Amazing that. I just wonder what South Africa will run out of, maybe car guards, when we start rolling out the vaccine. I was just trying to figure out what that would be. Either way, Israel is starting to open up, isn't it? That's good news.
Well, there are talks about Israel starting to open. Certainly the opening has already begun, but next week there will be a much more extensive opening of the economy. We understand that even though this has not yet been put into law, but we understand that this will be limited to people who have been vaccinated, who are holders of the green cards that are now being spoken about. Many people have been issued cards. You can print it from, download it from your local medical health organization site and print it off. And I presume that will allow you to do whatever you need to do in order to gain access to the things that are going to be open next week. I've already had a message from my gym to say, after many months of being closed, we are cleaning up and getting ready to open next week. They are also not exactly sure what limitations will be in place. So they said that they believe that entry will be restricted only to people who have the green card, who've been vaccinated, but they haven't had confirmation of that. But in any event, they're assuring all the members of the gym that they will continue to maintain the most stringent standards of wearing masks and social distancing and cleansing and everything that goes along with what we've learnt about corona so far. And similar messages are being sent from shopping malls, from cinemas, from restaurants which haven't been open. The cinemas, I think, have been closed for almost a year now. without being open at all during that period of time. Restaurants have been up and down. They're open for a short period of time and then were closed down very, very quickly. But it seems as if, though, there's going to be a much more extensive opening. And I think some of it will depend also on the traffic light status of the local area. I'm not exactly sure how that works, because I'm guessing that I could go to a gym somewhere else or to a mall somewhere else, even if I come from a so-called red light area. So I think it'll be very, very hard to police that. But certainly museums and libraries and street shops and shopping centers and markets and things like that are all slated to be open next week. Also some cultural and sports events, shuls, hotels without dining rooms, swimming pools. So, you know, really a very extensive reopening. This is money time for the vaccination program. That's the way that I see it, because this is, you know, the most extensive opening of the economy that we've had probably over the past year. And now with something like more than 30% of Israelis who have actually received both doses of the vaccination, this is going to be a real test for the whole strategy of getting as many people vaccinated as possible. If we don't see a massive uptick in the number of new cases as a result of the reopening, then I think that the vaccination strategy will be vindicated and will be justified. Our issue at the moment is that we have a lot of young people, children, who are being infected, a lot, some of them seriously unwell, and they are not currently eligible to be vaccinated. There are some heartbreaking stories about young children who are either suffering from corona with very, very severe symptoms, or others who have had corona without any real symptoms to speak of, but then who afterwards begin to suffer from some quite severe issues. There is a condition that has been identified around the world, which doesn't seem to be very, very extensive in terms of the number of people who have contracted it, but it is a condition that inflicts children after they've had corona. It's called pediatric inflammatory multisystem syndrome. It's even got an acronym, PIMS, and it's been mentioned in some scientific literature. There have been quite few cases around the world, but it seems to be more of a thing now. And these children suffer some really, really severe symptoms: fever, inflammation, rashes, abdominal pain, vomiting, diarrhea, respiratory issues, all of these things affecting young children. So unfortunately, because they're not eligible for vaccination, at the moment there is still the risk that they might contract, if not the virus itself in a severe way, then there's potentially some issues that come afterwards. And the rush right now is really to vaccinate as many people, because the new word on the street is that there is a much more severe variant that is on the way, and that we really want to be vaccinated before this comes, because this new variant that we've been threatened with at the moment is apparently something much more than anything that we've seen up until now. I haven't heard more than that, other than the threat that, you know, this is on the way and may well be a very, very big issue if we don't get those vaccinations done. So that's really the latest update. Schools continue to open up, as we've discussed over the last few days. More and more schools are opening. But next week is really what I would term vaccination money time, when everything begins to open up in the way that we used to know it once upon a time. And hopefully people will adhere to the rules, and hopefully the vaccinations will really be seen in how effective they are.
Yeah, so, Hachamor says, so now this is almost like a dat's a hut, like that you carry around, this green card.
Right, like an identity document of some sort, exactly. It lists your name, your passport number for people who want to travel abroad with it. It has your identity number. It lists in detail the vaccinations that you've received, both the first and the second dose, the date, the batch number, exactly what the vaccine is that you've received. And it gives you a 6-month window during which time the card is valid. I think the big question is going to arise once that 6 months expires, and what happens next? Are we going to be vaccinated again, or are they going to extend the validity of the period because the vaccine still continues to work? I think that's the big question right now, but at least for the next 6 months, we seem to have some way of moving around a little bit more freely.
Yeah, just to comment, just want to go to that. Kathleen says that I've been sending messages. I don't know if you've been receiving them. So that message I did get, Kathleen, but I haven't received others. So I do apologize. I am not ignoring you deliberately. Renee, living in Israel, says, forgive me, but how is Israel going to tell if this vaccine has worked if most people have been vaccinated, are healthy, and have never had the virus? I'm not sure I understand the question. I guess more people, would be getting sick.
I'm guessing that once we reopen the economy next week, if we see either a marginal increase in the number of virus cases or, you know, a very, very low or no increase at all, I think that they will certainly be touting from the rooftops the success of the vaccination program. I have no doubt that will be the case. But time will tell.
It will indeed. All right, Israel heading towards an election. How's that looking?
Oh, tiring, very tiring indeed. And the thing that's most tiring about all of this is that it seems as if though this election is heading for another stalemate. And the latest opinion polls show that Likud will win 28 seats and that the second place party will be Yesh Atid. That's the Lapid party with 17 seats, and that in third place will be the Tikva Chadasha, the New Hope party, which will finish with 13 seats. The issue is that no matter how you play Tetris with all of these different parties that will win these seats and trying to put sort of parties together that have some sort of a common interest between them, no matter how you shuffle these cards around and try to put them on the table, we don't see any bloc achieving 61 seats to form a government. Because of the fact that we have the Joint Arab List, which is 8 seats, and we have the Haredi bloc, which together will probably achieve something like 14 seats, and we have the left-wing bloc, which has about 5 seats, there are certain constellations which are just never going to happen. And so we can't see, for example, the Haredi bloc sitting with some of the other right-wing parties. They will specifically wish to avoid sitting with the Haredim. They will also wish to avoid sitting with the Arab party and probably wish to avoid sitting with wing bloc, even though it's a relatively small bloc. So all in all, the prime minister, when we put together all the parties that seemingly would support him, cannot reach 61 seats for his bloc. And there doesn't seem to be any other leader who can achieve it either. So we seem to be set on a track towards a stalemate, which is going to result probably in another series of elections until we somehow finally fall out with the result. At one stage, a few weeks ago, it seemed to me that we did have a bloc, an anti-Netanyahu bloc that would be big enough to somehow form a government without the involvement of the Likud. And without the involvement of the ultra-Orthodox parties, which is one of the things that they're really trying to achieve. But the way that things sit at the moment, I'm really not sure how this is going to pan out. You know, as I say, no matter how you shuffle everything and put it down on the table, we don't see a way to achieve a 61-seat majority coalition that will be able to form a government. So, unfortunately, it's quite depressing at the moment when you look at the situation.
Yeah, it really is. And it's just got to be completely, completely soul-destroying. Before I let you go, Unsigned says, any idea if and when South Africans are going to be allowed to visit Israel? Don't hold your breath.
So, yeah, I mean, I think that the plan is that the airport will be reopened. There's been lots and lots of discussions about the airport. On the one hand, Israelis can't come back on these repatriation flights. On the other hand, you know, sports people and business people are being let into the airport. So there's been a lot of discussion. I think the airport will be reopened. I think that foreign visitors will be allowed within the next few weeks to come to Israel. But I think that there will be quite stringent conditions. They will have to go into a coronavirus hotel for 10 days or 2 weeks with constant constant tests to make sure that they're not carrying the virus before they're released into the general public. So it wouldn't surprise me if it would be possible for people to come back to visit Israel within the next, let's say, 3 to 4 weeks, but be ready to sit 2 weeks in some sort of isolation before you get on with your holiday.
That makes that does make sense. It has just gone 8 o'clock. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. We'll catch you tomorrow, same time, same place.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.